to go ahead and get started with one review question. What is one key thing we have learned about Proverbs? Right there.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. That's exactly what I was thinking of. We have learned about wisdom. Is there something else that you guys were thinking about? What were you thinking about?
We listened about a book.
I'm sorry? We did. Now let's go ahead and continue on to what we are looking at today, which is chapter 15 of Proverbs. So guys, let's all be listening because we don't have a lot of time. So let's listen up. Proverbs 15:1, let's look at it together. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So maybe you've been in a situation where somebody is angry at you. Don't say anything, but raise your hand if you've ever been in a situation where somebody was upset at you. I think we've all been in that situation. And it can be a difficult situation. And so when there is anger toward you, when someone is upset at you, how should you respond? What is the best way to respond to an angry person? We have two possible ways we could respond. A soft answer or a harsh word. Let me just paint a picture for you of maybe a situation where someone is upset at you. So maybe you are at school, and you are with your friends, and you do something that makes one of your friends angry. You hurt their feelings. Maybe it's what you say. Maybe something that you do in class, and your friend says, "What are you thinking? Why did you do that?" They are upset at you. Now, what would be an example of a soft answer? You could say sorry. That would be a soft answer. Just to tell your friend, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry for what I said." What would be an example of a harsh word?
Lying.
Not exactly. What would be an example of a harsh word? Yeah, maybe turning against the person who's angry at you, and maybe they say, "What are you thinking?" And so you say to that person, "Well, at least I have a brain." You don't even have a brain to think. So how do you think the person would respond if you said that? Would they be less angry or more angry? No, just tell me. Would they be less angry or more angry? Yes. In fact, look at the next slide. It would be like if you had a fire outside and then you did this. Go to the next slide. You added gasoline to the fire. If there's someone who's angry at you, don't insult them. Don't say something mean to them because they will just be more angry. By the way, should we ever mix gasoline and fire, guys?
No.
Never. It's a very bad idea. Very dangerous. Never mix gasoline and fire. Okay, go to the next slide. Let's look at Proverbs, guys. Proverbs 15:3. A gentle tongue. Notice our topic here is watch your words. We should be careful with our tongue. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. What is a gentle tongue like? There's a picture painted for us here of what a gentle tongue is like. What is it like? Yes. What is it like, Ian? No, it's right here in the text. A gentle tongue is like what? There's a picture for us here. What is it like? Do you see what it's like?
A tree of life.
a tree of life. Go to the next slide so we can see this together. Can you picture with me a tree that's just loaded with fruit? When you have a gentle tongue, when you know how to control your mouth and what you say, it's like a tree of life. It's a blessing to other people. When you can't control what you say, it's not good. The results are not good. Let's continue looking at this topic of watching our words. Look at Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Now, what do you think it means to be hot-tempered? What do you think that means? Anna?
It means that you're really mad.
Yeah, you lose your temper. You get mad quickly and easily. But what do you think it means to be slow to anger? What do you think that means? Not exactly. Slow to anger. What does that mean? Yeah, you do get angry, but how? Does it take a little to make you angry or a lot to make you angry?
A lot.
You're slow to anger. It takes a lot. It means you have a lot of self-control. You have a lot of patience. It's the exact opposite of being hot-tempered. Someone who's hot-tempered, what is the result of being hot-tempered according to these verses? What is the result, Anna? What does it say right here in verse 18? Look at the text with me. What is the result of being hot-tempered? No, that's the other one. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. What does that mean, to stir up strife? You think you know what it means, Roman? Yeah, he gets angry and he makes a fight. He makes an argument. It causes problems between other people. But he was slow to anger. What is the result of that? No, that was the first one, a hot-tempered man. He gets angry really fast, and he's ready to fight, whether with his fists or with his mouth. But what about the other guy, the person, the boy or girl who is slow to anger? They have patience. They have self-control.
They will be slow to anger.
Yep, they'll be slow to anger. So are they ready to fight it out?
No.
No, they're quieting the fight, calming things down, not getting into an argument. So let's go on to our next verse. Again, looking at how we should watch our words. Here, let's take a look at James, a New Testament book. What does the book of James say about this? And I want someone who's a good reader to read this for us. This is a good verse for us to know and memorize. Who would like to read it for us? Someone like to volunteer? Miranda, go ahead. Read it loud and clear.
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
What should we be quick to do? Ashlyn.
Like to run a race.
No. What should we be quick to do? Look at the verse.
We'll do your chores when your mom's outside the house.
What should we be quick to do? Ian.
Be quick to do the right thing.
But what does it say here is the right thing? We need to be quick to... I'm giving you a hint. Here. Yes. Aren't we sometimes quick to speak, but slow to hear? The Bible's saying here we should do the opposite. We should be quick to listen to our teacher, quick to listen to our mom and dad, quick to listen to those that are helping us, but slow to do what two things? Who can tell me? Do you see it here? Miranda read it for us. Slow to do what two things? Yes, Levi.
Push someone.
No, what does it say here? Slow to speak. Yeah, we want to talk quickly. But we need to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. Have you ever heard someone say, think before you speak. It's a good thing to do. We should think first and then say what we want to say. We should be slow to speak and slow about what else? Slow to
anger.
Just like what we saw in Proverbs. Not getting angry just in a second. Blowing up. Saying things that we will regret. Let's go ahead and look at our next passage from Proverbs. Again, looking at how we should watch our words. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. The heart of the righteous thinks before talking. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Which one do we want to be like? Thinking about how we answer or just pouring out a bunch of bad things? We should be like the first one, right? Thinking, pondering what we answer. Let's go on now. And now let's take a look at a different topic here in Proverbs 15. What does God see? That's our next topic to think about. What does God see? Look with me at Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Let's read it together. Can you guys read this with me? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Because I forgot which one came first. On the evil and the good. So how much, Ashlyn, does God see?
Everything.
He sees everything. He sees the evil. He sees the good. Can we hide anything from him? What do you think?
No.
Guys, no. We can't hide. Guys, wait until I call on you, okay? Because we can't hear if everybody's talking at the same time. Can we hide anything from God?
No.
No, we can't. He sees everything. Looking at our next passage here, remember what we looked at in the last chapter of Proverbs before Christmas? Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at the guilt offering, but the upright enjoy acceptance. And if we look at the next slide, who remembers what two brothers we talked about in our last lesson? Raise your hand if you remember what two brothers we talked about. One of them was kind of making fun and not really doing the right thing, and he wasn't accepted by God. And the other one was accepted. Isaac, who were these brothers? Cain and Abel, right. And if you look in the next slide, we'll talk. Remember, Abel offered a lamb as a sacrifice. Go ahead to the next slide as we see a sacrifice. So in the next slide, as we think about offering a sacrifice, what do you think? What is better, a prayer or a sacrifice? You know, just saying a prayer or making a sacrifice.
A sacrifice,
Ian says. Raise your hand if you agree. A sacrifice, that's pretty big. Raise your hand if you say, no, I think a prayer's bigger. Okay, look at what Proverbs 15 says now. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Now, I thought we agreed that a sacrifice, that's pretty big. That's bigger than a prayer. Why is the sacrifice of the wicked an abomination? That means it's terrible. It's not acceptable to the Lord. I thought a sacrifice, that's a pretty big deal. You have to take an animal out of your flock from your farm and kill the animal, offer it to the Lord. Why would the sacrifice of a wicked person be abomination to the Lord? What do you think?
Like if you say something bad to a person,
Well, let me paint the picture for you. Here over here, you've got a wicked person, but he has a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of cows and sheep and goats, and he decides, you know what? I'm going to give an offering to the Lord. I'm going to give a sacrifice to the Lord. And over here, you have a person who's very kind, and they follow the Lord, but they don't have a whole lot. In fact, they don't have anything at all. They just pray to the Lord. And they just say, Lord, I want to thank you for the little bit I have. Why would God care more about the prayer of an upright person? Why would he care more about that than this great big sacrifice that a wicked person makes? He's going to give the Lord this huge gift. Because he's got lots of money. He cheated a lot of people and he got lots of money. So he's going to give a big gift to God. But God doesn't care about that. Who can tell me why that's true? Ian, what do you think?
Because it might be something bad.
Yeah, maybe he stole it. Maybe he cheated people. Isaac, what do you think? Why would God not accept this wicked man's generous sacrifice? Maybe. Anna, what do you think?
Because he gives that God doesn't want things that are wicked and he doesn't want things on the wicked person.
Does God care about the heart? Yeah, God doesn't just care about how much we're giving. He cares about our heart. And if in our heart we're wicked and we're just doing it to show off, to say, hey, look how much I'm giving to God. But in our heart, we really don't love God and we're hurting other people, God won't accept it. Doesn't matter how big our offering might be, how much money we might give to the church. If in our heart we're wicked, God won't accept it. But if in our heart we are doing what is right, God will accept our prayer. Let's look at our next verse here as we think about what God sees. This is an interesting verse. Proverbs 15:11, it says, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of man. Now here's some strange words. What is Sheol? What is Abaddon? Any ideas of what that means? Yeah, that's kind of confusing. Let's look at what it means. Sheol is the place of the dead. Abaddon refers to destruction or eternal punishment. We can't see what happens to people after they die. We can't see the place where people are punished for all eternity. But God can see it. How much more does he see our hearts? And God cares about our hearts, whether they are good or wicked. Let's go to our next one. Now, this is another verse that talks about the wicked and the righteous. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. God is far away from the wicked person or the righteous person. Which one, Anna? Right. But now I have a question for you. If a wicked person repents, that means in their heart they recognize that they are going the wrong way and they turn back to the Lord and say, God, will you forgive me? If a wicked person repents, will God hear them?
Yes.
Will God be near to them?
Yes,
he will. Because the truth is, God is not far away from any one of us. And if we recognize that we're going the wrong way and we turn to the Lord, he will hear us. He is near and ready to hear the voice of any man or woman, boy or girl, who calls out to him. So let's remember what God sees, and let's remember to watch our
mouth.
Our mouth, yes. It can get us into a lot of trouble. We should watch our tongue. Well, at this time, we're going to be dismissed. Let's go ahead and pray, though, before we go. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time we've had to learn from Proverbs. I pray, Father, that you will help us to watch the things that we say to one another, and help us, Father, to remember that you see all things, the evil and the good. Our hearts are open before you. And I pray, Father, that we will remember that if we repent, you are ready to hear us and help us. And we thank you for Jesus, whom you sent to rescue us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.